The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 152. And I'm going to talk about my guest here for a moment, even though he's quite a familiar person when it comes to the listeners of this podcast. But more on that in a few minutes. I'd like to talk about something first, and that was my experience going down last Thursday night to the Wexner Center for the Arts to catch the premiere of Chris Bournet's film, Lady Wrestler. You know what? I had a very good time down there. It was nice to see the film after hearing Chris talk about it on this podcast. It was nice to finally see it on the big screen. It was really cool. They had a little Q&A afterwards with Chris and with Ms. Isabel, who was one of the lady wrestlers, as well as, I believe her name was Kim. She was a daughter of Ms. Marva Scott. Unfortunately, Ms. Ethel Johnson couldn't be there, but it was still really cool. And I mean, it was a pretty packed house, and it's awesome to see Chris have his vision, his creative ideas up there in front of an audience, and I couldn't be happier for Chris. And hey, I'm going to keep you updated, because I think that Chris has got some things in the works to hopefully get that film out to more people. It really is worth the view. If you're a wrestling fan especially, you got to check it out, man. Let's talk a little bit about my guest on this episode of this very podcast. A man that has been on here four other times. He's coming back for number five, Mr. Brian Lau. Now, Brian's the man behind Staunch Ambition, which is a fantastic science fiction fantasy book. He's working on issue three. He's got a Kickstarter up to help fund that. And he's going to come on. We're going to talk all about it, man. He's got some big surprises in store for you if you're going to pick up issue three of Staunch Ambition. And I know many of you are avid listeners and you've heard Brian's other appearances, but if you're interested, hit the archive section, man. If you're a new listener, and check out Brian's appearances talking about his preview issue, issue one and issue two of Staunch Ambition. In fact, I believe, if I remember correctly, it was about February of last year he was on talking about Staunch Ambition, and Brian's a good dude. So sit back and enjoy our conversation as we're going to talk about all the ins and outs of what's happening with issue three. But before we get to that, I want to talk about two big wrestling shows that are coming up. The first one is April 14th, NOW 8. New Ohio Wrestling is going to be at the Kickmaster Foot Golf Facility in Grove City, Ohio, 1700 Dyer Road. We're going to be crowning a champion down there. You don't want to miss it. 7 o'clock is when things kick off down there. You know I'm going to be down there. I'm going to be doing play-by-play along with my broadcast partner, the hot commodity Matt Mason. I'm looking forward to it. But I would be amiss if I didn't mention that on April 21st, OCW Ohio Championship Wrestling returns with their very big show that they do every year, Tradition 15. It's going to be held at the OCW Arena, 2910 South Main Street in Akron. 7 o'clock is when things kick off there. And the best way to get all the information for either of these events is just to go over to Facebook, go into the search engine, type New Ohio Wrestling or Ohio Championship Wrestling, and you will get their pages. And it's got all the details, where you could get tickets, who's all going to be there, the matches, the lineups, everything that you need to know is right there. Before you hear my conversation with Brian Lau, let me let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their great service. Since Brian and I are going to be talking about science fiction, maybe you want to check out a great science fiction novel, such as Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, narrated by Will Wheaton. That's right. Well, Audible has it, ladies and gentlemen. You can pick it up just by going over to their great website. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, Brian Lyle joins me to talk about Staunch Ambition, Issue 3. Hey folks, welcome to PVD Cast number 152. Brian Lyle's joining me via Skype. Brian, how are you this evening?
Doing good, man.
It's been a long time since we chatted.
It's been a long time, man. Like, how long?
Just last month. I'm actually being sarcastic.
seemed like 10 years ago, man.
Hey, man, how can you forget about our great victory on Remix Revolution number 6?
Oh, yeah.
Craziness. Won us.
Man, that was fun.
That was that a blast. Was,
that's my kind of fun.
That is. That was a blast. And again, big ups to Mike McGee for having us on. And also big ups for the Three Geeks podcast for being very good opponents.
Yeah, and I want to point out that it was you and I up against Three Geeks. It was not even.
No, I don't think there was technically three there.
Y'all? Three geeks, three man. Geeks. So, like, we with the odds were stacked against us.
You know what? We should go fishing because I'm sure you're going to tell me about those big fish you catch.
Oh, man, we won that, like, fair and square. I don't got to tell you about it. I got the trophy hanging right up right here, dude. That was fun. Yeah, dude, I had fun. I think we have a good balance of you trying to rein me in and... Yeah, I'm just going off the rails.
You know what? I'll go ahead. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag for the PVD listeners at home, especially the avid ones. I'm going to try to rebroadcast that. I'm talking to Mike about maybe here at the end of the month of rebroadcasting that under the banner of the PVD cast because it was such a great episode and it was so much fun. I think I texted you afterwards that I had a headache from laughing so hard.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a blast.
I mean... Yeah, that's what it should be about, and I think we delivered. I mean, I assuredly enjoyed, too, but the only crime is that these movies will probably never be made according to our darkest wishes.
All right, well, let's talk about Staunch Ambition. You got the third issue that you're working on, and you got a Kickstarter for it. So let's start off real quick with just a little brief synopsis without giving any spoilers or anything. What's going on in issue 3?
Well, one of the things I'll say that's about issue 3, though, is it's pretty much done. I'm just tying up the last few edits from my editor. And just I usually send the book over with the word balloons without the tails on them and all that. Just kind of get the, just in case, you know, we need to retype, you know, some dialogue or whatnot. I don't want to have it, you know, exactly how it should be. So I line it all up that way, send it to the editor. So that's pretty much in the bag.
Oh, okay. All
and here, while I was delaying the answer so I can get to the website, because I'm going to read what I wrote because I can't remember what it's about.
I'm too busy marketing.
That's I don't know fine. What the that's book's fine. About.
You're a busy man.
You want to tell me what the book's about? I forget.
I'm just going to ask. You know what? There might be some newcomers. This is the first time they're hearing you on this podcast. This is your fifth appearance, by the way, on this podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, why don't you tell folks real quickly, what is Staunch Ambition? Let's start at the basic. Let's start at step one.
Well, Staunch Ambition is the most amazing science fiction comic book ever made in the history of the world.
You're modest. You're very modest, Brian. Thank you.
Well, it wasn't something I said. I'm just quoting... you're just really smart, really smart people. Staunch Ambition is an completely independent comic book that I'm doing, and I have an amazing team. Anything that's great about it, that's done by my team, my artists. I got Neil Anderson who's doing colors. I got Erwin Arosa doing the pencils and layouts. I've got Leah Letterman, who's editing and now co-writing with me. She's featuring her co-writing skills in issue 3. And I was very impressed with her. So I was like, you know, why don't you come on board and co-write and get the female perspective? And she's very intelligent. And it's great to have her aboard. And then some amazing cover artists. Freddie Williams II did my cover to issue one. Koi Pham covered a preview issue. And then Clayton Crane, I've been posting his cover to issue three. So getting some of the big names from the big three. The well-established artist with fan base has been a big help to grow my fan base. So, but the story is a supernatural sci-fi. It's supposed to be like it could happen in our future. What if technology advances to the point where we enter the supernatural through it? So that's basically the idea in a nutshell. What's the implications of not only having advanced technology, but being in the supernatural? One of my taglines is, welcome to the new enlightenment. So, of course, we had the enlightenment and scientific age. And then I kind of wanted to turn things on its head, you know, and there's a lot of, like, I think, overemphasis on science. And I love science, of course. But I kind of wanted to get back to some of this, the mystery of life. To me, in our world, the more I learn, I just eat science up. And the more I learn about, you know, just scientific discoveries or theories, or to me, it's more of a mystery of why we're here and what is everything about. I mean, we still have no clue.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So these kinds of things are fascinating to me. So what would the implications be if we entered this new enlightenment, you know, the supernatural age? And then, of course, driven by characters within the context. So,
well, let's talk about some of those characters. Excuse me. Azarus is one of your main characters. Can you talk just a little bit about what he faces, what his conflicts are, and whatnot in the story of Staunch Ambition?
Yeah, Azarus is a one of the main characters, and kind of dealing with in our future, they create these genetically engineered worker clones, you know, mixed between human and animal DNA, and they make them with no sexual organs, and they make them with a limited self-awareness so that they wouldn't colonize, or, you know, they would just focus on work. They wouldn't go off and reproduce. Or in classic sci-fi, Azure starts to become more self-aware and question, but not just so much AI becoming, you know, human or becoming sentient, but it's more of Azarus is also dealing with what does it mean? What am I? Am I animal, human, male, female? Where do I fit in to these categories? And of course, those are huge issues today. So Azarus is dealing with that. And then, of course, this whole oppressive slave issue that we've dealt with throughout history, not just in America, but all of history. So that's another kind of a thing I'll be dealing with Azarus. So it gets into some serious stuff. And then I guess Riel, you would probably get to, is one of my other main characters. She's a human. She's one of the lead supervisors on the title, Staunch Ambition, Staunch Industries, in my book. Is one of the leading corporations or companies, industries in scientific advancement, space travel, and energy. So, and Staunch Industries built the Ambition, which is a space station that everything takes place and starts out on, at least, and is one of the most crucial parts of the story, too. So, and Riel is one of the lead supervisors on the space station. So,
and what is her significance in the tale so far?
Well, she gets caught up into, you know, obviously being one of the leads on here, and then gets caught up into, like, a huge catastrophe happening in the beginning of the story. And she kind of gets caught in the middle of what's going on with the Staunch Industries and some of the things going on behind the scenes. And then what I'm getting into in issue three is her backstory. And a little bit of her family life. I'm a big fan. I don't watch a lot of TV or watch a lot of movies lately, but once in a while I'm able to break free and, you know, kind of recharge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching This Is Us, which is like getting,
it's getting great reviews. Everybody loves it. It's killing it in the ratings and that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's a lot of people's cup of tea, especially.
Sure.
But for me, man, it's like, it's human drama. It's,
yeah,
it's kind of like fairy tale human drama. I mean, it doesn't, it's not dealing with like dragons or anything like that, but but I mean, it's just like hyper exaggerated human drama because it's always so dramatic, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So well acted and done. Well, I want my sci-fi to have human drama in it, you know. So obviously not to that degree, but I want it to be effective to that degree. So I'm getting into Riel is going to have that with her personal story and her family life, and I'm loving what I'm. I can't wait to divulge and get into that part of the story. So,
and we would be amiss if we didn't mention one other dastardly individual, the one that caused all of that catastrophe that you mentioned there in the second issue, Nimrod?
Yes, Nimrod. He's Nim, or Rod. No, he's Rod, acronym. I forget what the acronym stands for. I have to look it up. I put that together somewhere, but it's been a while. But he's another genetically engineered clone. But something's awry with this clone in a different way. He's kind of a genetically engineered pain in the ass genius with the clone. So and his whole thing is he just catapults everything going. He's the shit hits the fan. Nimrod comes on board, and it's like he sets the ball a rolling. And so we're in the middle of it. Starts in the middle of things happening, but so there's a lot of stuff to go into that. He already's been dealing with, and then he comes in, and I don't know if I want to spoil anything, but yeah, Nimrod comes in and sets things on fire per se, and yeah, we'll be getting into you know what's motivating Nimrod, I guess, and so Nimrod's quite crucial in issue 3. So,
all right, let's talk about the team that you mentioned real quick, Leah Lederman. She just joined the book on issue 3, correct? Because she was not your editor for books 1 and 2.
No, she was the editor for issue 2 as well.
Oh, well, she... Okay, okay.
I had a couple people I was working with in the beginning I can give a shout-out to. It was sure. John McNichol is co-writing with me, and he's great. Him and I have got to know each other pretty well over the phone and email. And really well-read guy and just... contributed so much, and but he's got like 8 kids, and he's a very active guy too. He's not one of these guys, you know, he's involved in all kinds of stuff. So and then his wife had a stroke and a while back, and I mean, so that was obviously kind of a big ordeal for him, and mm-hmm. just having all those kinds of things going on was I still want to, like, you know, touch base with him, and you know. But I was like, yeah, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, so. most definitely. So
yeah, if you can,
how has it been working with Leah? How's the working relationship been?
Leah is great. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Leah is editing all kinds of, like, you know, independent books. She's I heard her on another podcast, but she also edits for Dirk Manning.
I was just gonna name drop. You beat me to it. I was gonna name drop.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. Dirk Manning. Anyways.
Yeah, you gotta mention Dirk on as much as possible, because I think money gets put in your bank just by saying his name.
What?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, you didn't know
I
that?
I didn't know that. Dirk Manning.
Yeah. Yeah. Dirk Manning, if you sing it, man.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say,
no, yeah.
You just tricked me into saying his name 3 times. He's like Bloody Mary. He's in my bathroom mirror. I'm going to be freaked out.
See him behind you, man.
Ah!
Yeah. So, but no, she's obviously well accomplished. Mm-hmm. And I was just very impressed with listening to her. You don't hear a lot of editors on podcasts. So
no, you don't.
I heard her on podcast and was just impressed with her so much there that I hit her up to be my editor, because my one editor was kind of associated with John McNichol. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge, busy guy that's, like, really doing a lot of stuff. I mean, he works for, like, a company and whatnot, and involved in a lot of stuff. So he was just doing it, you know, because he's friends with John McNichol. So, yeah, getting Leah Lederman on board. And then she had, like, a YouTube video somewhere I found. It was just not good quality video, you know, as far as audio and all that. But I listened to it, and I could hear what she was saying. She was giving a presentation. You know, someone probably just recorded it with, like, their phone behind a beer glass, I think. But she was impressive. So, and then, yeah, I was nervous kind of having her come in as editor. I'm like, she's going to just rip me up left and right, you know? So, but she's been great.
Excellent.
In fact, I just got the edits back for issue 3 from her, and I was like, pleased that it wasn't just like all kinds of red lines and markers and, you know, whatnot. So,
yeah, and but you also don't want somebody to kiss your rear end. You know, I know, you know, as yes. a creator that you, and I know you, you know, and how you are. And I think that goes out there for all the creators out there. You don't want somebody to kiss your rear end either and tell
well,
you.
Well, I speak for yourself.
Well,
I just want everybody to kiss my butt. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, she doesn't do that. That's one of the things that depressed me with her is like she will put her piece in and say, you know, how it is or what she thinks, and she'll fight for it. So, you know, it's one of the things that she actually articulated quite well.
And I know we've talked about these gentlemen in your previous appearances here on the PVD cast, but Erwin Arosa and Neil Anderson, two very talented gentlemen in the in their respective arts and the working relationship with them. Can you describe that maybe in a couple of words?
Oh, they're amazing as far as talent. So anyone can look into, like Erwin Arosa does my pencils and layouts, and he did some color as well for, he did the variant cover to issue 2. Mm-hmm. And he also starts issue 1 out with the dream sequence because I wanted it to look a little different. So I thought, well, I'll just have Erwin do everything on that. So it kind of has this like unique look. Erwin does another book called Grinodon, and it's all black and white.
Oh, wow.
And so it's more, it's like medieval kind of like
sorcery type of stuff, or
yeah, kings and okay. you know, King Arthur type. I'm trying to think of that HBO series,
like Game of Thrones, like
yeah, it might even be kind of mystical in that sense.
Okay,
but it's all black and white, so everything hinges upon his pencils, and his pencils are magnificent. I mean, they're just amazing, magnificent, and then a lot of times, colorists can ruin or just take great pencils and inks and just kind of like lessen it or, you know, take away from it. But Neil Anderson has never done that. It's I often put side by side the pencils with that. And yes, there's something for the pencils. But of course, my book being sci-fi, you kind of, I think the color really adds a lot. And so especially when you're going into like supernatural realm and stuff. And so Neil Anderson also works on another, put some work on another independent book called The Chasing Arrows. And he does all the art in that. So, but he's just a gem. They're both as good as any artist out there in Marvel, DC, or whatnot. So,
all right. Well, let's talk about some of the big two, Marvel and DC, because the man that's doing the cover for issue 3, Clayton Crane, has done some work for Marvel and DC. I mean, he's done artwork for Venom. Geez, I mean, the list is very, very long. So you want to tell folks maybe that don't know, how did you manage to get Clayton Crane to be the cover artist for issue 3?
Well, it was all you, man. it was at the Monroe Comic Con. Wait, you weren't at the Monroe,
yes,
were
no,
you?
Yes, no, I was there. I was there.
Yeah, you were.
I was there.
You weren't there 2 years ago.
No, not 2 years ago. Last year I was.
Yes, right. Okay, I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Trust my memory here, but yeah, you were there. I was, I don't know, did you know that I had mentioned before? Did you know I was like stoked to just, I'm going to ask him to do my cover?
You know what?
The show?
You know what? That's a great question, Brian. I know you said to me he's going to be there. You said Clayton Crane was going to be there and that you were a huge fan. And I don't think I remember you telling me till I got there, because I had to, I didn't get there as early or as quick as you did because of the 3-hour drive. And
oh yeah, and like, that's why you weren't up.
Yeah, and then I got there and you had told me about it, that you had said you were okay. Going to go over it. You went over.
Oh man, yeah, all you cared about was talking to Alicia
Rotaru. That's right,
Alicia.
Yeah,
I got her to do my cover too.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, issue 4.
Issue 4?
No.
Really?
Just kidding. Nah, she was telling me I should get this made into a Netflix. But so no, I you weren't there yet. My table buddy, you're like the only one I've ever had that actually helps me at the table. So guess what I'm doing?
What?
I'm like, I'm going to go over and ask him before the show starts, cuz I mean, obviously I want to be selling, mm-hmm. you know, selling a book. I go over there and there's a line already. And I'm like, crap. So I'm standing behind this guy with like a box of comics. And I got to know a guy in the line, so it actually worked out double awesome because guy Joseph was there, and he's a huge comic fan, so he eventually came by and bought all kinds of stuff from me, and he's supporting my Kickstarter, and he's a big fan, so he's awesome. He's become a cool friend. He works for that, what is it, the grading company, comic book grading company?
Oh, yeah. That gentleman, that Joseph. Yeah, I remember Joseph, he stopped
What
the
is
table.
It, what's the acronym again?
Oh, I can't remember the acronym.
CGC or something
CGI?
Like that.
CGI? No, not CGI. That's what they do in the movies.
CGI.
No, oh, I know but, what you mean. Yeah. I know who you mean. Yes, that gentleman was very, very nice, by the way.
Joseph. Yeah, he's really cool. And so, I got talking to him, and then he was like right there when I asked Clayton, and I think he was behind me. And so I waited it out. I was sitting here thinking, should I just go back to my table? You know, and I don't want to waste my time here. And he actually, I had asked him to do my cover back when I think I had a preview issue only.
Really?
And he didn't take the gig because I wasn't established, mm-hmm, and maybe mm-hmm. he was really busy at the time. Maybe contractually he couldn't. Mm-hmm. It could have been any of the issues. So I wasn't sure. But asked him and he was like, sure. And so I paid him half there, and then I came back to the table and I went and shut up about it because I was like, so I couldn't wait.
How has it been working with Clayton? Because I mean, obviously, you know, he did the cover and you guys probably communicated back and forth on a couple of things. How has it been working with Clayton?
Yeah, well, it's hard to get a hold of him because he's got to be busy as heck. I mean, the guy's famous. I mean, he's been doing comics forever. You know, there's all kinds of people hitting those guys up. And it's been like that with everybody that I've worked with as far as that are, you know, huge, you know, have a huge fan base, mm-hmm, like him. So he's not unique in that. I mean, it's just like they'll get back.
That's the nature of the beast, not to badmouth that. I mean, we're not saying that at all. It's just that's the nature of the beast. No. When you're that busy and you're that talented and you got all those folks clamoring for you to do their books, I mean, you know, I imagine it is daunting, you know.
Oh, to do everything, yeah. All kinds of stuff, podcasts and books and who knows what. And I can imagine. I mean, I'm busy and I'm not famous. I mean, I'm just like, you know, oh, my gosh, I got to do this. I got to do that, whatever. And so, he got back with me and was putting stuff together. Fortunately, I didn't have a major deadline, so that actually worked out really well that I had some breathing room. Because my biggest concern, even for my artists, is I don't want to just do this book. I don't want to. Hey, I need. And I did have to keep getting after Irwin and Neil a little bit to just. The first time ever to go, okay, this is my deadline for it. And it wasn't like crunch or anything, but I was just wanting to make sure that, because I want to have this book for Space and for Motor City, hopefully, mm-hmm, both of those. But I'm not the one to put timing over quality. I want to get this book done right, and I didn't want to push Clayton, so it took, he was going to do it a certain amount of time, and it went longer than it, but I had the time. That's why I was like, hey, I would like it around here because I knew it could possibly take longer. And I didn't, the worst thing would be to, he's just going to get it out and it's great, but it's not as good as it could have been.
And it turned out fantastic. I'm telling you right now, we're going to talk about the Kickstarter. We're going to talk about, you know, all the social media stuff that Brian's been putting out there, but you got to look at the cover. You got to find it. We're going to talk about where you can find it. And it turned out amazing, amazing. Just I can't even do it justice to try to describe how good it turned out. But let's talk about the Kickstarter, because you got one going on right now, and it's ending, the 19th of April, correct?
Yes, 19th of April.
And so far, you're off to a very good start, as you were saying off air, comparing it to your last Kickstarter. So tell the listeners at home, what's going on with the Kickstarter? You know, maybe give us why do you need to have the Kickstarter? What's it going to go to, et cetera, et cetera? Break it all down for us.
Right. Well, as I said earlier, I'm completely independent. So, you know, I don't work with any other publishers. I don't. I'm just a father. I have a day job, and I want to do this story. It's a story it won't let me go, so I'm doing it. However else, I put all my money up front to do the preview issue. You know, my father passed away a while ago, and before he actually even died, he was telling me he was going to leave me some money, and I looked at my dad, and I said, awesome. No, I'm kidding. I looked at my dad in the eyes and I said, you know, you know what I'm going to do with this money, Dad? I says, I'm going to do this book. I'm going to do this story I've been kicking around. And he was like, yeah, you do it, man. So, the book is dedicated to my dad to get it rolling. You know, I invested all that money up front. And then from here on out, it's, the only way to do this is through Kickstarter. And so that's what I've been trying to emphasize a little bit more on this one with, some of my posts is, this is all Kickstarter. There are independent comic book companies, quote unquote, they're actually publishers and they're well established and they do Kickstarter still. And yeah, it's like, yeah, that's great. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying that, like they're, you know, they're in distribution. They have all this stuff going on. And for me, this is it. It's the only way I can fund issue 4. So this Kickstarter is for the printing of issue 3. Like I said, was done. It's pretty much about done. And then this Kickstarter is going to go toward printing issue 3, production of issue 4, and, of course, all kinds of other expenses from, you know, initial paying for Comic-Cons and the website and all that kind of stuff. So paying you money to have me on your show, you know, all the expenses that come at me. You never know which, you know, they keep dropping. Dirk Manny.
First of all.
Oh, wait.
Dirk Manny.
I just was saying that to get more money so I can pay you.
You don't have to pay me to be on this podcast. That's why Audible writes those checks, okay?
You keep telling them that.
And episode 152 is when John loses the only sponsor he has. Anyways.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like joking. Yeah, I just put you out of business. Oh, John's got a Kickstarter coming up.
To fund his podcast. Anyways.
Yeah, okay, so I kind of mentioned a few things there, but what is it? Did I touch? What else do you want
to like? What rewards, what goals do you have? What rewards can fans and listeners of this podcast get if they decide to plunk down their hard-earned cash towards your
Kickstarter? Yeah, that's important, man. I mean, because first of all, if I need the Kickstarter, I have worked hard to make sure I offer something that people who decide to back the Kickstarter, they're going to get stuff that you don't get anywhere else. So I have exclusives that I built and that are specifically for Kickstarter backers only. Mm-hmm. And I'm running out of issues 1 and 2 because these are limited, numbered, and signed variant covered exclusives. And so they're going to be gone, and no one will be able to get those ever again. And so issue 1, issue 2, I still have some left. And then I have a variant cover of issue 3 that comes with a variant poster of Clayton Crane's cover. So it's a alternate reality version of his post of his cover. So it is a variant, and then it's numbered, and both the print that comes with it and the books are numbered. And then the books will be signed by Clayton, and at certain tier levels, I'm offering signed books by Clayton, and I offer, and I also have standard books, and I have some of those signed by Freddie Williams II and Koi Phan, because those weren't the variant versions. So,
okay,
yeah, they did the standard cover, just like Clayton's. My standard issue 3 is Clayton's cover, but then the variant is a alternate reality version, which is pretty sweet looking, dude. So.
And you also have music involved, too, with your project, as you have in the past. So you want to talk about the new songs that are coming out here with issue 3.
Even better, because I had 2 songs, and I wasn't even planning on, you know, I'm so busy with trying to do the story and the book, mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't planning on, you know, hitting up, getting any more music. But I connected with Silver Meow, who does, like, industrial tech. And it's a perfect, it just fell together. It's like the perfect music for a sci-fi supernatural book. And I even built my Kickstarter video with one of the first 2 songs. I think it was the rock song. But my first video had the rock song in it for my Kickstarter for issue 1 and then producing issue 2. My second Kickstarter had my other song, the electronic instrumental. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll just use a different area in one of those songs for my next trailer. So I had the whole visuals done of it, and I had the rock song in a different area, a really cool, like, instrumental part of it, and it was done. And then I hooked up with Silver Meow, and he composed the music. Him and I worked together, actually, on it, so, you know, I had some input. You know, Silver Meow did most of the work, but I worked with them on it. And then I put it in this, my trailer's done visually. I put it in and it syncs right up. So to get the full impact of that, if you watch the video and you especially watch toward the end, when it transitions from the trailer to my logo comes in dramatic, and then it goes to my tagline, and then it goes to the logo, and how it syncs with the music, dude, that just happened. That was like fate.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It's pretty sweet. Which you did you produce the video yourself? You produced the trailer, correct?
Well, I get a template usually from like a company like that has like after I use After Effects. I can do animation to a degree. You know, I've dabbled in animation, but animation is a ton of work. So even when I get a template, I'm tweaking it and changing it and altering it. And that's a lot of work. So I've done animation in the past for just straight up animation. I'm like, no, the template is, you know, it's a good start to get the ball rolling. So,
well, there you go. Hey, folks, listen, the man's doing it all himself. You know, he's making animated trailers. He's doing the book. You deserve, Brian, to have a little cash come your way. So, folks, get over to that Kickstarter and plunk down some cash. Help Brian out. Brian, you got 60 backers as of this recording.
Yeah,
and you're a little less than halfway to your goal. So that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, we're at 40%. And, you know, of course, you know, Kickstarters tend to, they start out the gate running, the dedicated people and the excitement. And then all Kickstarters, even Dirk Manning's, they'll just taper down, man.
Yeah.
And just trickle through the middle, you know, and it's good because, and you might ask yourself, why would you have it for 30 days if that's what it does? Well, that's so that you could do stuff like this, podcasts, and get, you know, people to post stuff and, you know, coordinate stuff, because all this is needed, especially for someone like me, completely grassroots, it's all grassroots, and getting, you know, being on your show and every one fan who shares the posts and whatnot, that's all going to, you know, connect together to get the end, which is when it picks up again. That kicks, you know, because there's a 2-day reminder, 48-hour reminder on Kickstarter that you can click. I've often done myself, say, oh, yeah, I'm kind of interested in this, but, you know, I'm on the fence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get a lot of people who come back and they look and they go, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. I got to do this. The other thing is even though I don't work with any kind of publishers, I do cross promote with other
indie. You know what? You took the next question right out of my mouth. I was going to mention you have some partners that you're cross promoting with. So let's talk about them. Go ahead.
Well, I'm psychic. Sorry, man. I know what you wrote down there.
We've worked too many.
No, I didn't.
Too many cons together. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There you go,
we do, man. We're like, we're the tag teams.
That's
but,
right.
Yeah, well, on another podcast, I forgot to mention Alterna Comics, and it's good to clarify, too, because it's like, I don't work with Alterna Comics, and they don't publish my book, but I'm always looking as an independent creator to cross-promote with other independent-type people. So I cross-promoted with Iron Age Comics on issue 1, so I put an ad on my book for Iron Age Comics, and then he put an ad on. It's actually a friend of mine, John Santana, or you met him. And then I cross-promoted with The Chasing Arrows, which is Neil Anderson's other book, my colors, and put a beautiful ad on those. Both of those books are gorgeous, too. And put their ads on my book, and then they put my ad in their book. So it's always cool to see. It's almost cooler to see your book advertise another book. It's so fun. But then I hit up Alterna Comics, and Alterna Comics is like on fire. And they're bringing back newsprint, the like old school comic book look, and the price, you know, $1.50 for books. And so I hit up Peter, who runs Alterna Comics, and I'm like, you know what? I'm interested in putting an ad in your book, and then are you interested in cross-promoting? So I'm offering Santana's issue 1 digital download in my rewards, and he's going to offer some stuff from me just to cross-promote each other, and then we do that on social media. So that I did all my rewards with the prices that I had. So that's just bonus reward that comes. It's not even a stretch goal. I just put them in there as more of an incentive.
There you go.
So you get the checkout, and that's a supernatural horror, which is beautiful. So
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It's a beautiful. I think it's going to be a 3-issue arc, and then my book's going to be advertised on the inside cover of their issue 2, and some other alternate book as well. So that's been cool to cross promote with several different indie people. So.
Yeah, most definitely. And independent people helping each other out. And that's what I dig about doing this podcast. And that's great that they're helping you out as well. That's what it's all about, man. People helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. You're independent. You know, you're big on that. That's your tagline there. So
I know.
That's why we're hooked up so good. I think good friends too. So,
well, let's talk real quickly before I get to my last question here. Where can people find out about the Kickstarter? What's the easiest place to go?
Everything's Staunch Ambition. If you go into Google and type in Staunch Ambition, you'll see Facebook, Twitter, everything. Having a unique name has paid dividends in that respect. So I'm able to make everything Staunch Ambition. And so go to my website, staunchambition.com. You can go to Facebook, and I've got links. I post, every day, at least try to post a few times a day during the Kickstarter. I don't like to post too much. I did have a little thing where I have emails from the people I sent music to. And then I have a little bit of crossover from people who did my Kickstarters. And so I send out the updates. And so one guy had said that, I got the email and then I got the Kickstarter update. And I was like, look, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have everything down to an exact science here, During the Kickstarter, is when I'm going to just kind of, put stuff out there. Otherwise, I just kind of try to, put stuff out enough to show, hey, see what's going on and touch base. But the Kickstarter is obviously so crucial. So if anybody's falling in that category, it's just temporary. I'm not like throwing stuff out there a ton too, and I compared to a lot of people that do that. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're on Instagram as well as Twitter and Facebook and staunchambition.com.
You're on Tumblr and I'm on Pinterest.
Are you on Pinterest and Snapchat?
MySpace.
Did you ever have a MySpace back in the day?
I think I never did anything with it, but I think it was like I wanted to get a free song from one of these artists that I liked at the time, and I made an account, but I don't think I ever logged into it, but that one time.
All right.
I
had one, yeah, because,
You were a hipster?
Oh, well, because, hey, man, everybody in indie wrestling had one, so I had to have one, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was big, huh?
Yeah, and then that disappeared, and then Twitter came along and, whatnot, but anyways, I digress. Let's talk about what I texted you earlier this morning.
Oh, freaking A.
Oh,
I'm prepared.
No. You're not prepared?
Oh, I'll give you some.
All right, we're going to relive our victory on Remix Revolution 6. Here we go. If Staunch Ambition becomes a movie, who's playing the three main roles of Nimrod, Azarus?
All right.
Riel, who's the director? What's the marketing plan? Come on.
All right, so I'm on the spot. I have to come up with some things here. So I think that what we're going to go with, Azarus is technically not a male or a female.
Okay.
So as far as casting Azarus, I think despite certain of the artists' interpretations of him, I remember I used to get artists to do their versions of Azarus all the time, and I would go, he's kind of creature-like looking and, not muscular like a superhero but tone, thin tone, but creature-like looking a little bit, and of course, human looking too. But and they would always come back often with like Captain America, body. it's just Captain America's body. I could go through. I can show you all the different versions of people. I would probably go with someone like Summer Glau and have her kind of done up makeup and whatnot, because she could be tone, and yet she's got that, like, she could look like creature-ish, and you could get that kind of, have her shaved, no hair, and get her kind of looking creature-like, and you would do her up similar, like, well, you wouldn't know if it was a male or female.
Okay. Can I be honest? I've played along. I, here is I if I'm casting Azarus, I was going with Michael Jai White.
Oh, who's that? I don't
know. He was in Universal Soldier, African-American actor from Universal Soldier, Black Dynamite. He was in that one of the, what was it? It was the Steven Seagal DMX movie. I can't remember what the title's called now. Tom Arnold's in it.
All right, I'm finding him. Okay, that's okay, this guy, go. I've seen him.
But I like Summer Glau.
Okay, so Azarus.
I like Summer Glau. Okay. That's a good one.
Summer Glau is so, could pull it off, I think, so weird looking and thin. Because, yeah. I mean, despite, I mean, you know, your disadvantages is you're often seeing artist's interpretation, but sometimes it's not always exactly what's in my head. So.
Okay. How about Riel?
Oh, well, let's do Nimrod next.
Okay.
I'm going to go Nimrod because I already got Nimrod. All
right. Who's
and that? I'm a fan of the talents of Michael Fassbender. So I would, you know, even though he's going to be like, I want Michael Fassbender in my movie, whether he's Nimrod or not, you're not going to see him because he's going to either be prosthetics or CGI or a mix. But yes, Michael Fassbender is amazing. I can see him playing eccentric genius. You know, he could do anything. But.
All right, I'm gonna go with because I swear, as soon as I read the preview issue, this person popped in my head when I saw Nimrod. If I'm casting for that role, Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus
from The Walking Dead. Yes.
Which one's he?
He's Daryl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's actually that's a good call, man.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that character, I'm like, this guy looks like Norman Reedus. He looks like Daryl.
You know what? Yeah, he could do that. He does. He can get him all that like funky hair and
yeah.
Okay, Norman Reedus. Now, is he actually doing any movies?
You know what? I don't know because I think he's probably. I mean, let's be honest. He's one of the higher paid actors on that show. I don't think he's doing squat other than, you know, The Walking Dead and his reality show Ride with Norman Reedus.
Looks like he's was in Blade 2, the Boondock Saints, and Deuces Wild. So
what about Riel?
Is he still alive on The Walking Dead?
Oh yeah, they haven't killed Daryl yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. I think he's been to Motor City. We'll see. Anyway, so Riel. Gosh, you need to have a woman that can handle herself. Like, I wouldn't want to go with someone like a Summer Glau, like Riel. Even though Summer Glau, like, played like a badass in, you know, Firefly or Serenity. Mm-hmm. Like, she can kick some ass, but she was, like, some kind of a freak experiment as why. But Riel, I would want some, you know, not to look like a thin fashion model, but a female actress that has a... And the first one that comes to my mind is Wonder Woman.
Oh, Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot is a great actress, and she is gorgeous, but also looks like she probably could kick some ass, you know. Yeah. So I don't know if I could go wrong with her.
Okay. Right.
Gal Gadot is...
Yes, I agree.
She would fit.
I went with Scarlett Johansson.
I think that one.
All right, who would direct the film? We'll go with director, and we'll wrap this one up. Who would you say would be the best director?
Wow.
For this.
Ridley Scott,
most definitely. I thought you were going to say that.
But I'm a little hesitant. James Cameron, but man, he did Avatar. I don't know if he should ever direct again. I mean, it was brilliant, but it had some problems. It was not a brilliant story.
No, it was not. I'm going to go with a very weird choice, but I will explain. He hasn't done any, really, just one flick that I'm aware of. I think he has a short film, but he has one theatrical. I'm going to go with Tom Ford.
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford is the director of Nocturnal Animals, which was a movie that I just absolutely dug. It's not a science fiction film. It's a revenge tale, but I think he's got such a unique style. And he would push the envelope a little bit. I would hire Tom Ford.
Tom board. And then he did a single man with
yes,
in 2009 with some big actors. Both movies have some serious talent.
Yeah.
So. But I haven't seen either one of those movies. Colin Firth was in his one movie.
Yep.
Julianne Moore. Mm-hmm. So Nocturnal Animals is the one, or did you see A Single Man?
I did not see A Single Man. I've only seen Nocturnal Animals.
So. Well, I would have been tempted to go with like Duncan Jones as director because Moon was one of my favorite kind of independent movies, and Source Code was actually really good, but I don't know, man. Then he went on to make what was it? That video game movie. He did a video game.
Pixels?
No, he did that big video war. It's like an online video game, like War of the
Warcraft.
Look it up. Yes, World Warcraft. Okay. World War Warcraft or whatever it was, and that just tanked. And
yes,
I did not look good to me.
No. All right, let's talk here real quickly. We're gonna wrap things up. We're going to almost about 58 minutes here. So, you going to any conventions anytime soon? Hint, hint, oink, oink.
I don't know. Yeah, man, looking forward to it. I think what the next one I am doing Fantasticon in Michigan, Port Huron.
When is that?
That's 2 weekends from now.
Okay, so the 21st? The
21st? Yeah, I think so. It's on Saturday. It's a one-dayer. And then... So that's on the 14th, and then have a weekend off. So then the 28th and the 29th, I'm going to be visiting Columbus, Ohio area doing space. Independent comics only. Free admission.
There you go.
It's no celebrities there other than you. You'll be there. But there's just going to be it's a great show, man. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it was a blast last time. It's going to be a blast this time, no doubt. It's going to be awesome. You know, not only just, you know, being at your table and hanging out, but seeing all the people that are going to be there. You know, you know, I introduced you to a lot of folks. You know, it's going to be great. I could name drop, you know, Brian Canini probably, and I assume that Victor Dandridge will be there. You know, Jack Wallace from Disposable Fiction Comics, a whole host of folks. I could sit here and name and name and name and name drop all night long, but it's going to be good. It's like a class reunion, only without the assholes.
Is that how he markets it? He's like, that's his marketing campaign.
No, that is not the marketing campaign for space. I'm talking about my own experience going to space.
No, yeah, it's great, man. I was kind of like, never know what to expect, and it was just a great vibe, and it's not too small, and it's not this giant, star-studded cast, but it's got all kinds of creativity and creators there, so I was enjoying it. Yeah, Bob, I forget his last name.
Bob Corby. Bob Corby.
Yep. And he puts on a good show. And then Motor City's up after that, I think 2 weeks from there, which is a huge show for me. I've been going to Motor City since I was like in college, man, and I did a couple comic book covers for an independent company, so
sweet.
That is nostalgic.
May 12th? Is that when Motor City Con is?
Yeah, let me look. I think so. No, Motor City is. I'm not sure what month this is. The 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Okay, so it's May. It's May 18th and 19th and 20th. All right. Well, there you go, man. There you go.
And then Monroe Comic Con we'll be doing again as well, coming up toward the end of the year.
Yeah, and are you coming down to Columbus again for Wizard World?
Oh, yeah. Wizard World Columbus. I forget when that is.
It's the beginning of June.
We'll be there as well.
Weekend in June, so there you go. All right, Brian. Once again, staunchambition.com. Everything social media-wise, Staunch Ambition. Brian, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it is. It is always a fun time hanging out with you.
I enjoy it. Look forward to the mischief we'll cause at space.
There you go. All right, fans, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Brian Lau, talking about his book, Staunch Ambition. We're talking about the Kickstarter that's going on right now for issue 3. And as you heard, it's going to take a little bit of help from everyone to make issue 3 and set up things for issue 4. It's going to take everybody's help. So, hey, if you got an opportunity to drop a few bucks Brian's way, please do so. All you got to do is go over to staunchambition.com and then follow the links over to Kickstarter. April 19th is the day when it ends, so you don't want to miss out, folks. You definitely don't. Help Brian out. It's a great project. Again, if you have any questions about how you can help Brian and anything that you need to know about his Kickstarter, you could talk to him or you could contact me and let me tell you the various different ways where you can get in touch with me. You can follow me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or you can leave me a message through the Facebook page of the PVDcast, and that, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. I feel I need to let you know that there's a variety of different ways in which you can get this podcast. Obviously, pvdcast.com is the quickest way to get your hands on this podcast, but it's also available through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network as well. And no matter how you listen, please rate, please review, please subscribe, please tell some folks about this. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is just like Brian's book. It is very independent, and word of mouth is important to me. Getting good reviews is important to me. So I appreciate all those folks who have done it in the past, and for those that are going to do it in the future, thank you again. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.